Good morning, church. In your through the recording, evidently the live stream did not work today, and we apologize for that. But would like to welcome you to this time of presenting the message, and we are going to go ahead and continue going through our study of the Gospel of John, and we are going to be looking at verses 18 and following this morning. And as Jesus is instructing his disciples, he wants to prepare them for opposition, prepare them for the difficulties that are going to come, difficulties that are going to come in regard to the way that the world will bring opposition, persecution, motivated through hatred. In these times that we're in right now, many in our world are facing mortality, the reality of mortality, in a more direct manner than they have. And in the midst of all that, I hope that we as followers of Jesus will be very diligent to look for opportunities to share the hope that we have in Christ, that our hope is in Him and Him alone, and that we believe that God works all these things purposefully, and we have these situations that we're encountering right now by God's design. And as His people, we want to seek His guidance, His direction, and His wisdom. Among the people of this world, we are a people that have love, we have hope, and we have purpose that transcends all suffering, all sickness, and all death. May God help us to be prayerfully prepared for all that we encounter. And may these words of Jesus that He shares with His followers encourage our hearts as we face the difficulties in the days ahead, months ahead. As we look at verse 18, He says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." The world's hatred should not be surprising to followers of Jesus. That's the one thing that we want to get from this particular verse. The hatred that comes from the world should not shock us. It should not surprise us. As we read this, He says that the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. If we go back to the same chapter, verse 17, it says, it's what Jesus said to His followers, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." Followers of Jesus, those empowered by the Spirit of God and the grace of God, are characterized by love for one another. The Spirit of God empowers us to love each other by meeting each other's needs as we serve one another, by communicating truth and our eternal hope that is found in Christ. Love seeks to comfort one another as they're going through struggles and difficulties. Love in its own way is a witness to people. Love is a witness that comes out from the hearts of the people of God. So followers of Jesus are characterized by love. But what do we expect from the world? What can we expect ultimately from the world and its system and the people that follow that system? If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. The people of the world, because they are entrenched in this world's system and the way of thinking and the selfishness that it propagates, their self-centered expression is going to be a hatred for Jesus and the followers of Jesus. Those thinking that speaking the truth in love will be warmly received by the world, they're going to be shocked because that's not going to be what happens. When we share the truth of Christ, we will receive the same things that Jesus received. That's opposition, that's difficulty, that's oppression. Why is this the case? It's because the world has no ears and has no heart to hear. It confirms the fact that they are dead in their sin. They're dead in their trespasses. They have no life of God within them. Heart change is necessary for a man or a woman to respond to the love of Christ. And that's what we need to be praying. God, please change people's hearts. Please work in people's hearts and change them. We want them to respond to gospel truths with hearts that are open and transformed and receptive. And the only way that will happen is if God, by His power, changes their hearts. Lives of love guided by truth in Jesus will stir up resentment and hatred from the people who love this world. And that's just an inescapable reality. It's where we're at. It's what we know. the same John who wrote the Gospel of John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and following, he says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." So John, from that example of history, saying Cain was a man who was enveloped in his own selfishness and evil. And why did he hate his brother Abel? Because his own deeds were evil and he knew his brothers were righteous. This same truth happens today. We will encounter this as we live for Christ on his earth, in this world. These are going to be the things that we experience. We should not be surprised that the world hates us. In John chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said to his own unbelieving brothers who were telling him, "Yeah, just go on down to Jerusalem. Go ahead and go down there," knowing that he would very certainly be put to death. And Jesus said to them, who were not believers, who did not trust him, he says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." That is what Jesus does. He testifies that the whole base of operation that the world comes from, the whole system of this world, is enveloped in evil and selfishness and self-centeredness. And when the truth of Christ and gospel truth goes into that environment, hatred is the result. Lives of love guided by gospel truth in Jesus are going to cause guilt. They will cause shame and the awareness of judgment that is coming. Why is that the case? Because we know from the Word of God in Romans that God has said he has written his word on the hearts of all men and women. They have this sense of eternal accountability before God. There is this innate sense of right and wrong, and the giver of that right and wrong is God Almighty. And people sense that guilt before God, and they resist it. They react to it. When you think about that awareness, a thought that struck me in trying to prepare this message today is that, is it possible that the world's panic right now over this COVID-19 and the desire to bring this under control and do everything we can to wrap this up in a bag where it just is not spreading, is the panic that results from that and the fear and anxiety that comes from that, is it not possible that that is because people sense judgment and that it's in their heart that they know they violated God? And because of that, there's this sense we're scrambling to try to protect what we value, and that's life on this earth and all of its various manifestations. And we need to be sensitive to the fact that people are experiencing these things. And we need to understand how, as followers of Jesus, we speak the truth in love to people in those places. Hatred from the world does not need to be prompted by being a jerk for Jesus. I don't think you have to put on these approaches that are just antagonistic and hateful and mean and trying to prompt people into wicked responses. I think we realize, you know what? The world is opposed to us. We're supposed to be maintaining this focus of balance and love and concern for people. And when we're speaking the truth, we realize that the truth will bring its own opposition. Loving people and sharing the gospel with others, it's going to bring resentment. It's going to bring retaliation. So when Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." When Jesus says, "If the world hates you," he is not saying that it might not happen. That's not the point of that phrase. It is most certainly going to happen. It will happen because the world is filled with fleshly people who are controlled by the enemy in this world system. We cannot live for Jesus, speak the truth of Jesus, and think that people of this world are going to warmly receive that, because they will not. If the people of the world are not expressing opposition to us and taking issue with us, then I think we have to ask the question, are we really sharing the truth of Jesus like he shared? Are we walking in the truth as he walked? Also, remember that the primary reference from the worldliness that Jesus is directing here, in this world, you're going to receive hardship. You're going to be persecuted by the people of the world. In this world, you will be hated. What is this primary audience that is going to bring this hatred about? Well, these were religious people. These were Jewish people that were primarily going to be the people hating Jesus and hating those followers. It spreads to all the people of this world enveloped in this world system, because the system of religion had become man-centered. It had been focused on man. And so these people who say they worship God actually embrace the system of self-exaltation, and they oppose the truth of Christ. Everyone worships something. Even the most secular and pagan in our society, they worship something. They have idols all about them. And they will stand in opposition to anything that comes to challenge their idolatry. When we follow Jesus, loving his ways, loving his people, and sharing his truth, opposition is going to come. It's unavoidable. It's going to happen. That's why Peter, the Apostle Peter, says in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Folks, these insults and opposition that come from the world are not because Christians remain in silence. It's because we're empowered and inspired by God's truth to take this message out and share the truth with people. When we're speaking the truth in love, opposition will come. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." When you meet them, they are going to come. We will meet trials of various kinds. Sometimes it will be opposition. Sometimes it will be pandemics. Who knows what it will be? We need to face these things with joy, because we know that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Suffering, affliction, and hatred are not to be surprising. And as John is writing these words, and his first audience that will read these words, suffering and affliction because people are standing in the truth is not surprising to them. They know that these things are in fact happening. The world hated a perfect man who lived and shared the truth blamelessly. If they treated Jesus like that, without fault, how will they respond to us? We're going to take his truth. We're going to share what he has given us to share. So as we lovingly unite our hearts and our lives in gospel truth, opposition and hatred will come. But we need to love, we need to serve, and we need to share that truth, but not be surprised at the opposition that comes our way, the hatred that men and women will bring. In verse 19, it says, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." From this verse, I would say that we can learn that it's not good news if the world loves you. It's not good news if the world loves you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. You see, it's not good if you are loved by the world. Why? Because the world loves its own. It loves those who are devoted to that system. We can spend a great deal of time and energy attempting to gain an audience with the world and trying to gain the favor of this world. But if the world loves and respects and honors people, it is because we are affirming what that world system values. If we are seeking the world's affection and approval, we are seeking the wrong things. We cannot do that. We cannot go about this by worldly means and worldly attempts. Acts of kindness, like acts that we would do for people out of genuine care and concern for them during a pandemic, to try to say, "God, how can we be used of you?" We need to do things like that. We should be trying to love people in this world. But we need to recognize that we're doing these things for what reason? To grant us an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus, to speak the truth to people in love. When the gospel is shared, worldly hearts need transformation for acceptance. Why? Because the world only loves its own. The world will only love its own. And all different types of mindsets of these rebels that are on the earth that resist God and his ways, they will unite in to battle a common enemy. And that common enemy is Jesus Christ and his truth. And if we're there, that's what's going to happen. If we were of the world would love us as its own. But we're not of this world. So what we need to do is speak the truth in love and pray that our gracious God will transform hearts to receive it. God, we need you to change people's hearts. As we go out and we share and we try to gain an audience to hear the truth, doing acts of kindness and service, we have to have the boldness. We have to be committed. Lord, give us that grace to speak your truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel hope that we all need. Help us to do that well. If you're of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Followers of Jesus are not of this world because his grace chose us out of this world. This is a truth that stands real for us positionally. God has chosen us. He has called us to himself. He's clothed us in the righteousness of Christ, and we belong to him as his people. We are positionally righteous in Christ, and we stand absolutely set apart as from the people of this world. But this is also a truth practically. We've been chosen out of this world. There are ways that we live and manifest the truth in us by God's grace to this world that set us apart. When Jesus chooses his people, Jesus changes his people. He is working in us to change us. We're not going to be like the people of this world. We're going to be like the people that God has made us to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are changed by God's grace because he chose us out of this world. We are set out to be people who minister and share this hope of reconciliation. This is an opportunity for us as the people of God to look around, to see ways that we can help, to see ways that we can serve one another, caring for one another, helping and supporting one another, and looking for ways that we can reach out to people that are not part of the body of Christ, people that need the hope of Jesus. But we need to be serving them with a purposed intent of sharing with them the gospel of Christ. We're in good company when we experience persecution from the world, the first part of verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus now at this point, he says, remember the word that I said to you. He's calling them to reflect back when he was teaching them in that upper room after he had washed their feet. That is the statement that he made. So in humble acts of service, followers of Jesus should selflessly serve like Jesus. We go back to that time, John chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So Jesus, reflecting back now at this time in this chapter 15, reflecting back to chapter 13 and those instructions, we're to be following the example of Jesus as he serves selflessly, like washing the disciples' feet. We're to be like that as we serve, but we're also to be like him as we go through these challenges and we experience this persecution and suffering. If we are living as Jesus lived and speaking as Jesus spoke, persecution is inevitable. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas were out on missionary journeys, and they went and they took the gospel message to several different locations. And after establishing churches and establishing believers in those communities, Paul and Barnabas returned to some of them to help those churches, to strengthen those churches. And in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, it says that Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. We got to recognize this is part of our lot. We are going to experience tribulations of various kinds on this earth. We will go into eternity having suffered in a variety of ways. And we need to be prepared for that. It shouldn't be surprising to us. If we're going to live out the truth of Jesus Christ on this earth, it puts us in direct opposition to the world and its system. How we go through affliction, suffering, and persecution truly does reveal the loyalty of our hearts. And as you experience affliction, suffering, and persecution, always remember, you're in good company. This is the way they treated our Lord and Savior. It should not be shocking to us, and it should be encouraging to us that we're living like Christ. And then this final word in the last part of verse 20, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. I think from this we can take, you know, we can anticipate some favorable reactions to our Christ-centered lives. There are going to be some people that will respond well to the things that we say and the things that we do. In a life where persecution is common because of our love for Jesus and our commitment to live and share gospel truth, I think it's encouraging to know that some people are going to hear this word of hope. And I think we should take that to heart, and we should be faithful in the way that we share it. While many reject the truth and retaliate against the messenger, there are going to be some who welcome and rejoice in that truth of the gospel. And that should be what we're looking forward to. That should be why we're serving people in love. Is God, open somebody's heart. If just like when there were some who heard your word and kept it, God, we want to see people today hear your word and keep it. We need to be intentional in that, and we need to anticipate God working in that way. Praise God for the genuine hope that some will honor the word of the gospel and they will surrender to the Savior, just like we have. That's what he did for us. He opened our hearts. He gave us that ability to trust him, abide in him. And we have this hope as well as we go out and share. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know who it's going to happen to. We don't know where these things will necessarily take place. But we are promised that some will have a response that indicates they're open to the truth. And so as we're going through these times of difficulty right now, take that word and say, God, some are going to hear this. Some are going to respond. Give us sensitivity and boldness to go out and be your voice on this earth, to encounter these things with purposeful, intentional desires to see the purpose of Christ move forward on his earth. All these things are happening for a reason. All of this happens by God's design. And let's trust him as we go through these trying times. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and ask God to strengthen us to be bold and faithful witnesses. So as we wrap this message up today, just ask you to consider some of these questions. What are some specific ways that you can prepare yourself not to be surprised by the hatred you receive from the world as a follower of Jesus? You see, when we are surprised, when we're shocked, it takes us off guard. It takes us off task. And we just need to recognize opposition is going to come. And we don't have to take it personally. We just have to take it and commit it to Christ. And Lord, give us the grace to be prepared and to go forth and do what you've called us to do, regardless how people respond. Why is it good news? Why is it not good news if the world loves you? Why is it not good news if the world loves you? See, I think we can spend so much time and energy thinking, how can we get the world to hear us and like us? And it's going to take a work of God for that to happen. And if the world loves us, that's really not an encouraging thing. It means that really we've embraced its system, and we need to resist that system. What does experiencing persecution from the world tell you about your relationship with Jesus? You know, if we're going through hardships, if people are hating us because we're walking consistently in truth and sharing the truth consistently, that's affirming. That's encouraging. We're doing the right things. And we don't have to mope and pout and be saddened. We can say, God, thank you for the privilege of serving you and suffering for your name on this earth. And how can the anticipation of favorable reactions to your sharing the gospel truth encourage your heart? And I do pray that as we go forward, that we'll look and we'll see, man, God has promised there are going to be some people that keep his word. Maybe the people you and I come in contact with, maybe there's someone that you are going to share with in this time of suffering and difficulty. God will open their hearts and they'll respond to the message of truth. There will be some. Let's keep our hearts focused on the promise that some will keep the word, just like he helped us to be faithful in that, to respond to him. He will help others. Church, pray that God will bless you in your pursuit of truth. I pray that you'll be comforted. We miss you. We wish we could be together. We wish we could fellowship and share time as we hug and we shake hands and we share the love of Christ. We will miss that. But may God strengthen us and prepare us for those days to return. And may we be faithful on his earth in our circumstances where we are. God, help us to be faithful. Lord, we pray your blessing on us as your people. Strengthen us and help us to abide in you, Christ. Lord, we ask you to supply what we need to be the people you want us to be in this hour of demand and struggle and challenge. Help us to be your people without fear, without shame. God, may we stand strong in your truth and may we share it with others passionately. God, we thank you for the privilege of representing you on your earth. Thank you for the life that you have given us in Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior, that he died for our sins so that we, by trusting his work on the cross, find our sins forgiven, made right with you because the price was paid. God, may we share that hope with others faithfully, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.